Bless you, Sister Treva. Ms. Wheat?
Brother, I'd like to, first of all, thank the Lord for salvation of my soul. As we were singing this morning, I was made to think of a question that is asked in the book of Psalms. The psalmist asked, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?"
Amen.
And I got to thinking about benefits that have been mine to enjoy in this life. The greatest benefit is the benefit of knowing the Lord and a free pardon of sin.
Amen.
But you know it's a great, great benefit to be a member of the Lord's church. It's a great benefit to have brothers and sisters in the Lord that you have confidence in. I'd just like to thank this body of people for their faithfulness to the Lord, their help toward my family and all that they have done for us down through our lives. Our family has been attending this church for some 40 years. And the church has been awfully good to my family. And I am thankful for that. The psalmist went ahead to say that he would take the cup of salvation when he asked that question, and he would call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I hope that I'll never cease to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I just thank you all for being my church and being a great support and a mainstay in my family. I certainly appreciate that.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Wheat. I want to say today that make no mistake, the Lord is here. He's present with us today. And what he wants to do here today is more important than us or anything else. It's certainly more important than the clock on the wall or anything. We need to give way today to the Lord. I'm like Brother Strode. I have felt his presence here this morning in a very powerful way, and we need to be certain that when the Lord is willing to grace us like that with his presence, that we need to let the Lord do what he wants to do. And so I encourage everybody today to follow the Lord. I believe the Carlock sisters have a song for us, so you pray for them today while they sing.
They were picking out something to sing, and they come up here and give it to me, so.
appreciate that good song. I have always believed that when I got saved, the way that it happened, the urgency and how suddenly that great condemnation of sin gripped my heart, and I just felt like I had to turn to the Lord. I've always believed the way that it happened, that somebody somewhere, it may have not been at that very moment, but somebody somewhere was praying for me that I would come to the Lord. And we certainly need to, above all, we need to pray for those that are lost. Let's remember them in our prayers. Thankful that we can talk to God on behalf of others. And prayer doesn't know any boundaries. We can pray for somebody miles and miles and miles away, and God can touch them and bless them. God can bless when we pray for our soldiers miles away in hostile environments. God can touch them and bless them where they're at and protect them. I'm thankful for prayer. I want to share some scripture with you today from the 10th chapter of the Hebrew letter. If you have your Bibles and want to read with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. And I want to stop reading there with verse 37. I want to talk to you today about our enduring substance. Paul here in his writing, and you may have a different view on that. Many people have. That's who I believe the writer was. He spoke about them having, during a time when he was in bonds, when he was incarcerated. And to be honest with you, I'm not really certain about the time frame that he was talking about here, which imprisonment. But he talked about them giving joyfully of themselves, taking joyfully the spoiling of their goods in order to help him. And he said that they did this by the knowledge that in themselves, the knowledge in themselves rather, that they had in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And yesterday morning, I got up very early while it was still dark, and I drove up to Indianapolis to an ordination service, and was planning to, you know, to come back right after the service was over. And I thought that I would perhaps along the way back that I would get really tired. But as I drove, the Lord was with me and began to bless me and began to give me these thoughts. I began to think about back through things in my life, things that I have experienced and the way that God has blessed me in life. And I began to think about many of you. And God has really been so good to us. And I thought that I would come today and stand before you and ask you to think about those times in your life when the blessings of God were so real, the goodness of God was so rich in your lives that you just wanted to seize the moment. You just wanted to latch onto that with some hope that perhaps it would last. But it doesn't, does it? Nothing in this life will last. Everything that we know in this life will pass away and will not endure. Now, I'm glad that as this epistle was written, I'm glad that it did not have to be said that we don't have any enduring substance. It's just that we don't have it here. But Paul did say, as he spoke about these people, he said, you joyfully gave up your earthly goods. You gave up those earthly possessions with great joy in your heart. And I want you to think about what he was saying here about people being able to take what they possessed, material possessions, monetary possessions, things of that sort. Paul said to these people, you were able to take them joyfully and give them up, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Now, listen, today, for the children of God, this world is just not our home. It's not our home. It's not where our treasures are at. At least, it's not where they ought to be. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But he said, lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And Jesus went on to say, wherever that a person's treasure is, that is where their heart will be also. And so as we think about that for the children of God, even while we are here on the earth, our heart should already be in heaven, shouldn't it? I remember hearing a beautiful song about that one time, about my heart is already there. That's where our treasure is, and that's where our heart ought to be also. Paul wrote to the Colossians, and he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When we were born again by the Spirit of God, we were made alive unto God. And being made alive unto God is synonymous with being dead to sin. When you're dead to sin, you're alive unto God. They mean the same thing. And so Paul said to the people there at Colossae, he said, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He said, you're dead, but you're alive. You're dead, but you're alive. You're dead, but your life is hid with Christ. He wasn't double talking. He was saying, you're dead to the rudiments of this world. You've died to sin. You've died to these things. But you've been made alive in the Lord, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And one day, he that is coming will come, and he will not tarry. And when he comes, he's going to take us away. All that are ready, he's going to take us away to be with him. The Bible says that we'll meet him in the air and we'll be forever with the Lord. And we are to comfort one another with those words. So there were many things that came to my mind, and I want to read this to you today because I'm going to just be honest with you. I've just never been much of a fan of commentaries. I don't have anything against or any problem with people that read them or use them, but I've just never been a very big fan of them. But I did read this, and I thought that this writer expressed it in a wonderful way as he spoke about this verse in verse 34, where Paul said, "For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." And I want you to listen carefully to what this writer that I read said about this. I thought what he said was very profound and very well explained. He said, "Property here soon vanishes. Riches take to themselves wings and fly away. Or at any rate, all that we possess must soon be left. But in heaven, all is permanent and secure. No calamity of war, pestilence, or famine, no change of times, no commercial embarrassments, no failure of a crop or a bank, no fraud of sharpers and swindlers, no act of a pickpocket or a highwayman can take it away. Nor does death ever come there to remove the inhabitants of heaven from their mansions. With this hope, therefore, Christians may cheerfully see their earthly wealth vanish, for they can look forward to their enduring substance and their better inheritance." And I say amen. I wanted today to, and I don't want to use the word boast because I don't believe that we are supposed to boast. I want to commend the church. I say this today with all sincerity. I want to commend the church here at Fairview Memorial. I am amazed, and I'm thankful, and I'm humbled, and I'm just impressed at how the church gives. I'm very impressed at how the church here supports the various works, the mission efforts, and how that the church here is in support of the ministry. And we understand in this that, you know, the support of the ministry is very biblical. It's taught very plainly in the scriptures, but we understand in this that those things are not done to the benefit of man. Those things are done to the advancement of the gospel, that people might hear about the Lord, that people might have opportunity to the same thing that you and I have had, that people in various places may know about the Lord, that there might be people planted there to tell them the truth and to tell them about this old-time heartfelt salvation that we have experienced. I was raised this way. I was raised. I was taken to a missionary Baptist church as far back as I can remember. I was going to one. I was raised this way. I think, you know, what makes me more thankful than anything is I am pleased to be with a people that God is pleased to dwell with. I'm pleased to be in services where the Lord is pleased to show up and manifest His presence. I believe today that I'm among the people of God. I believe today that I'm among people that I'm going to rise up with one day. and go home to be with the Lord. If I didn't believe it, I'd be looking for him, wouldn't you? If I didn't believe today that I was among the people of God, I'd be looking for them wherever I could find them. I want to be with God's people. We have a connection, don't we? We have a kindred spirit. I can relate to somebody that knows what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. I can't spiritually relate to somebody that is basing their hope of heaven on something less than that. I can't relate to that. I cannot relate to somebody that has just repeated a prayer and is hoping that that will get them into heaven. Friends, I can't relate to that. But I can certainly relate to somebody that can tell me about the time and the place when they had that spiritual experience with the Lord. My soul can hook up with theirs. But I can't relate to those other things. I don't have any spiritual feeling at all towards those other things. But I know among God's people that we have a kindred spirit. And we know what each other has experienced. And we know what's ahead too, don't we? We know what's waiting for us. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to be glad. And you're going to be glad. And we're all going to be glad when we get to heaven. That's going to be, friend, listen, that's going to be the height of our joy to reach the golden shores of heaven. Jesus, one time he sent his disciples out. Two by two, he sent the 70 out, and they came back, and they were rejoicing about what they had seen. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus told them that while they were out, that he beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But he told his disciples, he said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you through my name, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Friend, the greatest joy that I have ever had in this life, the greatest joy that I have now, joy that gives me joy above everything, is that my name is written down in the book of life. Amen. And one day, and you know what? The devil doesn't have a big enough eraser to take it out either. It's written. I mean, when it's written, it's written. When your name is written down in the book of life, it's there. And one day when that book is opened, it will be there. And everybody's name that is recorded in the book of life will have that enduring substance in heaven with the Lord. And the Bible says that those who are not found written will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Lost friend, you need to get your name written in the book of life. And you need to come to the only one that can write it there. You can't put it there yourself. Nobody else but God can put it there. While I thought on these things, if the Lord is willing, here in just a few months, Shirley and I we'll celebrate our 30th anniversary together. And I thought about that, and I thought about how much I have loved her through the years. And I thought, I wish that we could always be married. I do. I feel that way, sincerely. I feel that way. I wish that her and I could always be married, but you know what? That's not going to happen, is it? I remember very well in October 28th of 1977, 7 o'clock on Friday evening, when we stood before a missionary Baptist preacher in a missionary Baptist church and took our vows. We vowed to love each other, to honor each other, to cherish each other until death would part us. And one day, that's what will happen. And that earthly relationship will be dissolved in death. I remember when my father passed away, I thought, I wish that we could have stayed together. But that's not going to happen here, is it? I mean, that's just not going to happen. I remember so many times when all of my children were at home, and I know Brother Joey told me last time not to preach about this, but I remember the last time, or I remember thinking about times when all my children were home, how happy that I was that they were all there with me. And there were times that I just wanted to seize that moment and thought about it, you know, that I wished that this could just, last, that they could just always be with me here. But that doesn't happen, does it? I miss them. I wish that I could be closer to them. But the work of the Lord is much more important. Much more important. And so, we don't have things here that endure. They just don't endure. We don't have that enduring substance here in this world. And one day, the time will come when God will call each one of us. And that earthly relationship that we have will be severed in death. And most all of us here have already experienced it throughout the years in our families. I can't even express to you today and explain to you today what a great love I have for you people. What a great love that God has given me for you in the time that I've been here as your pastor. And I think about I just love to come to worship with you. I love to come together here at God's house and be with you. And I think oftentimes, and there have been at other times at other churches where I pastored when someone would die and leave this earthly congregation, and I would miss them so much, and oftentimes I just wish that we could freeze frame things and they would stay the way that they are. But that's not life on this earth, is it? That doesn't happen here, and it never will. So I'm glad that God has given us something permanent. I'm thankful today that God has given us something secure. I'm thankful today that we've got hope beyond this life. If we only had hope in Christ in this life, we would be of all men most miserable. I'm thankful that we have a great hope that goes beyond this world. We've got great expectation of things that are ahead. And it's not that we don't have an enduring, lasting substance. It's just that we're not going to have it while we live down here. But friends, there are some things in heaven that are going to be permanent. There are some things in heaven that we are going to enjoy forever. And the writer was right. Nobody in heaven will ever approach you and tell you that your brother or your sister has passed away in death. Those things will be gone. Those things will not exist there. Those mansions that we occupy there will occupy. I was thinking, my wife and I, during the 26 years of my ministry, we've lived in 5 different states. We've lived in a lot of different houses and dwelt in, you know, apartments and things like that. We've lived, had a lot of different earthly residents. But one day, we're going to move into our permanent home. And I mean, friends, listen, up there nobody moves. When we occupy those mansions in heaven, we're going to take up residence there, and we're going to stay there, and we're going to be there forever and forever. And heaven is where our enduring substance lies. The 13th chapter of Hebrews says, here we have no continuing city. We don't, do we? Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I want to read some scripture to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read about three verses, beginning with verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to say this today to every child of God. If you've got your eyes on the things of this world, you need to take them off. You need to look at things eternal. We need to do what Paul said. We don't need to be concerned about these temporal things. These things that are just here for a little while and then vanish away. We need to have our eyes fixed more on those enduring, everlasting blessings of God. That place we need to look to heaven, where we know that we're going to go. Because, you know, listen, if we don't keep that in our thoughts, if we don't retain that in our hearts and in our minds, if we don't retain the thought that we're not at home here in this world, that our home is beyond this, that our home is in heaven, if we don't retain that, before you know it, we'll be all wrapped up in the temporal things of life. If we don't keep that thought that we're strangers here and we're pilgrims here and we're just passing through here, and the reason that we're even here is to do the work of the Lord. He didn't leave us here for our own benefit, did he? You know, the very moment that God saved me, I mean, that very night that he spoke peace to my soul, it would have been better off for me. It would have been more to my benefit if God would have just took me up right then to be with him. I would have been far better off than what I am here. God did not leave me here for my benefit. He left me here to tell others about what he had done for me. We're here to work. We're here to do the Lord's work. And when God is finished with us, it'll be time to go. Here, Paul said, the outward man perishes. Our health doesn't endure, does it? Brother Wheat spoke about it in the Sunday school lesson this morning from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Our strength doesn't endure. Our physical strength here doesn't endure. Our bodies, as they age, they get weaker and weaker, and we're able to do less and less as we age, and we are headed towards that time when the outward man will have to lay down in death and leave this world behind, because the outward man is perishing every day. But we've got hope. We've got hope. Brother Roark, God bless your heart. Throw that walker away one of these days. Won't need it. Won't need it where we're going. We won't need those things where we're headed. We won't be plagued with the things that we've been plagued with here in this life. Here, everything that we know passes away. But it won't be that way when we finally made it home. It won't be like that. Aren't you glad today that you've been given something eternal? Those moments in life where God is so present, where God is so richly blessing us, those moments in life that we just wish we could seize and hang on to, but we can't. We can't. They pass us by. And as we've been reminded this morning in our Sunday school lesson, the older we get, the faster they seem to pass. And we know, and we're well aware, that the outward man is perishing. But thank God that the inward man is renewed day by day. If I had anything today to tell you in the conclusion of this message, it would just be this, that I'm looking forward to what is beyond this life. I'm looking forward. Hope is expectation. Hope is anticipation. You know, true hope, the world, many people today use hope way out of context. They say, well, I've done this and I've done that, and I'm hoping that it'll be enough to get me into heaven. That's not the hope that the Bible talks about. The hope that the Bible talks about, that hope that is an anchor of the soul that's both sure and steadfast, that hope is not a wish. It's not something that we're wishing for. It is the expectation and the anticipation of what we know is waiting. That's our hope. We have hope in heaven. When we say we have hope in heaven, we're not wishing to get there. We know we're going. We're expecting it. We're anticipating it. That is true hope. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. My hope is built on what Jesus did for me when He spoke peace to my soul. And one of these days I'm leaving. I'm telling you today, I'm leaving. God's going to use me as long as He sees fit to use me. And when God's finished with me, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm taking off. I'm taking my flight. I'm going home. I'm going where I'm going to have something there that never, ever ends. Thank God that there is a heaven that's waiting for us. Because all of the things down here that we would love to hang on to, we just won't be able to. It seems like that, for me, it seems like the more that I think about the things of God, the more that I anticipate what's waiting, the less I think about the temporal things of this life. Give me a place to lay my head down. Give me the needs of life. And as long as I've got the Lord, I can be content with those things. And I believe you can too. Contentment with godliness is great gain. And I'll tell you what, when you've got God, when you've got the Lord, when you know Him and a pardon and forgiveness of sin, and you know you're going to heaven, if you'll just allow yourself, you can be content with nothing more than what you need. God can make you content. And so, we don't know when we're going. One by one, we'll take our flight. One by one, we'll go. And so, whichever of us goes first, I'll just leave you with this morning. I'll see you there. I'll see you there. I'll see you in that land where we will have something that we can hold on to. and heaven will have that better and that enduring substance that will last forever and forever. There'll never be one sad tear fall from your eye in heaven. There'll be nothing there that'll ever make you sad in any way. Lost friend, I want to say this to you before I stop today. We sure would like for you to go. But if you're going to make it, you're going to have to come the same route we did. You're going to have to come God's way. You're going to have to be born again by the Spirit of God. I'd like for us to have a song. I'd like for us to stand today, and before we dismiss, I'd like for us to have a hand of fellowship with each other. We ought to do that from time to time. And so I'd like to ask everyone to stand and let's have a fellowship before we go home today. God bless you. Bless you, Sister Goodman.
Number 39.